Tired of the same old sports analysis? Then you need the SMQBs podcast. They're five attorneys, they're sports fanatics, and they're ready to make their case. Welcome to Sports Talk with an Edge. From Dallas, Texas, Ryan Pope. Michael Rooster Phelan from Richmond, Virginia. Patrick Milk Meichler from Tampa. Toby House Milrod from Philadelphia. Chris Bison Nace from D.C.
SMQBs, this is episode 216. We got a small crew tonight. It's Bison here, Milk, and Rooster. Milk, who you bringing to the bar?
Well, I know we're going to talk about Pete Rose today, but...
Oh, we are. Yes, we are.
I'd like to actually bring Shoeless Joe Jackson to the bar because he's part of this agreement to... at least allow them to be voted on, I guess, to get into the Hall of Fame. But a lot of controversy around Shoeless Joe, whether or not he cheated or fixed the 1919 World Series. A lot of evidence he didn't. Some evidence he did. And I'd like to sit down and have a cocktail with him to find out really what happened in the 1919 World Series. And he would drink me under the table, I'm very certain about.
Oh, absolutely.
My God.
Absolutely. Rooster, what about you? Who you bringing?
You know, same theme. I'd like to bring Johnny Bench to the bar and see what he thinks about all this, because Johnny Bench, I think, is the best catcher who ever lived.
Other than Nace.
Please. Thank you.
He once caught a fastball with his bare hand just to show the pitcher that he wasn't throwing hard enough.
Is that true?
Yes.
That's awesome.
If Johnny Bench thinks that somebody should be in the Hall of Fame based on their performance, then I'm down with that. And I have a lot of caveats we'll talk about later.
All right. Well, I've got a lot to say about Pete Rose, but that's not who I'm bringing to the bar. I'm going to bring, I'm going to bring Jack Doohan to the bar because he was replaced by Franco Colapinto, right? In F1 for the next five races. And I'm pretty sure Colapinto ended up wrecking his car and finishing maybe dead last in the race. So I'm just wondering how
well
Doohan has just been.
No points is no points, brah.
Yeah, so true. But I don't know. I'm just wondering how he's feeling. And is he clicking his heels together or is he cursing everybody?
For your non-F1 fans, unless you finish in the top 10 in the race, you don't get a point.
Mm. Come on. Everybody's seen Drive to Survive at this point, right? All right. Hey, Rooster, we have some amazing sponsors who support us and let us do this. Do you want to give a shout out to anybody?
Yeah, let me start out with our two-time sponsor, Assembly Software. Assembly has produced their tried and true. They're the owners of the tried and true legal case management programs, Needles, and TrialWorks. And now they've got a cloud-based system called Neos, which is just state-of-the-art. And of course, they're like everyone in the world now implementing AI into Neos. Uh-huh. So if you're a law firm looking for a good case management system, I highly recommend Neos. We use it. Pope's firm uses it. Bison's firm uses it. It's a really good system.
All right, let's get this show on the road talking a little bit about Pete Rose. And I want to just sort of tee up a couple things before we get into the heat here. First of all, before 1920, players were banned by some committee that they had. And there were like 14 players banned from 1865 to 1920, 12 of them for gambling or for association with gambling. All right. In 1920, that's when we get the first commissioner, a federal judge, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, and he becomes the commissioner and he has like unfettered power. And he bans anybody who pisses him off, basically. Like, there's really no rhyme or reason to who he's banning. He just bans anybody whenever he feels like it. But that's been the situation since then, is that the commissioner has the power to ban people. It was in 1991 that the National Baseball Hall of Fame and Museum, which is a separate entity from MLB, they voted in 1991 that anybody on the commissioner's banned list was not eligible for induction into the Hall of Fame. Pete Rose, as everybody knows, had a lifetime ban for gambling on baseball. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that and some of his other transgressions. And by the way, he agreed to that. He agreed to that punishment. This all comes to light now because Rob Manfred, the current commissioner, has decided that once you die, you are no longer on the banned list. So by virtue of Rose's death about a year ago, and now Manfred decreeing that once you die, you're off the commissioner's banned list, in theory, Rose is eligible for the Hall of Fame. And that's where we are right now with the decision on whether he should be in. And this
do you think Manfred's position had anything to do with Trump's tweet?
100% it did. Yeah. I mean, 100%. I mean, look, baseball has always been somewhat a political animal, or I guess at times they've been very worried about politics because of their antitrust exemption. So this is something that's always been an issue for them. They don't want to lose the antitrust exemption that they have. So they kind of try and play nice. You saw this in the steroid era where they had all the hearings and everything, and where players ended up getting suspensions and all that. A lot of that was governed because of the fear that Congress would come in and take away the antitrust exemption. So I absolutely think that it had something to do with the president's tweet. Now, whether the president should have been tweeting about that, that's a different conversation. But this is obviously, you know, clear as day. Rose doesn't deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. I think we can all agree on that, right?
Go ahead. Go ahead, Milk.
No?
I absolutely disagree. I think he got it right because I think I'm really on board with this lifetime ban. And when you die, you're now eligible based on your baseball performance because you're punishing Pete Rose for what he did, right? And by the way, he never bet against his own team, just to be clear, right?
We don't know that.
We don't, well, I mean,
bet on his team.
He bet on his team when
he was managing.
Hey, you bet on your team to win.
Actually, I think he did bet against them, but go ahead.
That's different than the White Sox in 1919 who threw the World Series. But look, he suffered. He never got to see himself get in the Hall of Fame. He's the best hitter to ever play the game. Put the gambling aside. He's deceased. And I think now and he's not in the Hall of Fame, by the way, just so we're all clear. He still has to be voted on by people like Johnny Bench, right? How is this done? By the way, is that side vet.
It's called the Eras Committee.
Yeah.
Right.
So once you're eligible for the hall, you have so many years to get in.
Yeah.
Okay. And if you don't get enough votes to get in, then you're off the ballot, but you can come back up years later,
which is how Dick Allen just got in.
Right. There's a number of people who got in through what's called the Eras Committee. And 16 people.
Sorry to interrupt, but no pun intended. They do a really good job of fixing errors because Dick Allen and who else got in this year through the Eras Committee, they should have been in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think there's some people who have gotten in too. Like, I think one of the ones that I heard was Harold Baines. Like, not really sure Baines deserved to be in. But the way the Eras Committee works, which is important, it's 16 people every 3 years, and they go into a closed door session and they come out with who's on it. And it's complete secrecy. You don't have any idea who voted which way. And at least historically, nothing's leaked out of that room about votes. By the way, it's
Bench
it's
is on that
Parker,
committee. Right?
The Dave
common,
Parker.
Common thought is that Rose has a much better shot at getting in through the Eras Committee than he ever would have through the sports writers.
Well, with one exception to that. And I think that I heard, I could be wrong about this, but I thought I read something or heard something that some of the steroid guys have come up through the Eras Committee, or there's something about the steroid guys and the people who would vote, and they've gotten like literally zero votes.
Good.
The people who
good. See, that's where I draw the line.
They cheated.
They cheated.
Did Pete Rose cheat?
Pete Rose did not do anything to enhance his performance ever. He should be in the Hall of Fame with a little picture of a steaming pile of shit right next to his bust, because he's the world's biggest asshole.
Oh, but for sure.
But you know who else is? Ty Cobb.
Yeah, they all were
and
assholes.
And he's in. Ty Cobb is a racist bigot. Cobb is a racist, anti-Semitic bigot. And he's in. Right. He's in.
So it's not about character. Do you think Shoeless Joe Jackson should be in the Hall of Fame? Yes or no?
Bison? He didn't cheat.
Well,
so he didn't bet on baseball. The big.
He said he did.
No, he didn't. He said he took the money.
Here's what happened.
He knew about it, but he didn't rat out his teammates. That's his crime.
And I haven't done any independent research on this other than watching Eight Men Out. No, that's not true. I read the book, actually.
You're very supportive of the 20s baseball era, you purist.
I did read the book, but Shoeless Joe took money from the mob.
Yes.
The problem was, I think in the World Series that he was allegedly throwing, he hit like 450 with like, 19 RBIs. And I mean, just what was it? 375?
375.
Okay.
But I also read he gave up the Reds. They played the Reds that year and they had an unusually high number of triples. And a lot of them were hit to where Shoeless Joe Jackson was playing. And I think he was so good that he could almost make himself play good when he could have really played amazing.
So here's what I want to say about Rose.
That's all true. He shouldn't get in.
Here's what I want to say about Rose.
Because he cheated the game.
All right. Pete Rose played the most games of anybody in MLB history. That record is listed in the Hall of Fame.
That's amazing.
It's listed in the Hall of Fame. His name is on that record in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
He has the most plate appearances. His name is in the Hall of Fame for that. He has the most at-bats, also in the Hall of Fame at the top of the list. He has the most hits, and he's also recognized in the Hall of Fame for that. Pete Rose's name and his accomplishments are documented in the Hall of Fame. What is not is that he does not have a bust in there as a member of the Hall of Fame.
But Ty Cobb does.
That's right. But I don't want to play the whataboutism game, because we could go back and comb through so many players and find reasons, particularly when you talk about racism. I mean, we'd have to go back we could still take guys out of the hall for that reason. I just talking about Rose. This was the known original sin in baseball. You do not bet on games. I saw one stat that said, the rule is, it's rule 21, and section D says betting on ball games, you can't do it. All right. But also that rule is posted in every clubhouse, in every ballpark in America. All right. And you figure Pete Rose played, 3,500 games, managed another 400 after that, 4,000 games. He walks in and out of that dugout 2-3 times a game, or in and out of the clubhouse. I mean, there's no question he didn't know the rule. Right. And yet he still did it. And think about every game where you've gone, Rooster, what the hell is Aaron Boone doing? I can't believe he just went to the bullpen. I can't believe he pinch ran. I can't believe he didn't do this. The only reason you're not thinking he's throwing that game is because of the rule. And now more than ever, with such easy access to gambling, it's more important than ever that they lay down the law for these guys so they understand that you cannot bet on baseball, period.
I agree, but I'm not saying he shouldn't have been banned during his lifetime. I think they got that right. But once he's dead do you know how frustrating it was for him through his entire life to see people get into the Hall of Fame that he knew he was 800 times better than? It was a massive penalty to him. He's gone. He'll never enjoy it. We put his personality and character to the side. This guy hit more hits than anyone in Major League Baseball history.
And that's recognized.
But
if you go to the Hall of Fame, you'll see that. Wait a minute.
He was also an MVP, Rookie of the Year, 17-time All-Star, 3-time World Series winner, 1 Gold Gloves, Silver Slugger,
3-time
World Series MVP. I mean, he's got all the stats to be in the Hall of Fame. And
but he bet on baseball. You're saying that
betting keeps him out. And this is a tough call for me because I really think he's a despicable human being. But do you think Keith Hernandez should be in the Hall of Fame?
Is Keith Hernandez in the Hall of Fame?
First baseman Mets.
I know. Is he in? Is he in the Hall?
Please tell me he's not in the Hall of Fame. Keith Hernandez?
I mean, should he be? I mean, how about Daryl Strawberry? How about any of those Coke users during that era? They didn't use PEDs. They just were Coke heads, which was illegal and against the policy of Major League Baseball. And some people out there would argue, well, they were addicted. They couldn't help it. And gambling is an addiction too.
Well, we're talking about putting his bust in the most prestigious, you know, recognizing him in the most prestigious way baseball can. And he denigrated the game.
Absolutely.
He showed disrespect to the game.
Totally disrespected. I agree with House. I think there should be a separate wing of the Hall of Fame with a big, huge logo, like I said, of a steaming pile of shit for Ty Cobb, Pete Rose, and all these, but not the PED users. No. They should never be in. Never.
No. They cheated.
Because their numbers don't count.
Right.
Look, I don't like the PED users either. I could make a very different argument.
I feel like
though.
You do.
No, I could make an argument though, you know, for them that Major League Baseball.
Well, then we'd have a third wing.
Major League
cheaters.
Baseball endorsed that behavior because chicks dig the long ball.
Well,
and they
great. Have
it.
A third wing for cheaters.
I don't know. I just think that this is an honor.
How many people are going to visit the piece of shit or the cheaters wing? Not
by
many.
The way, and an honor he never saw. Period. But he never saw it. And by the way, he may not get in. This is not definite.
Well, that's true. I mean, it's definitely not a definite that he gets in. That's true.
But I think he should.
I don't know. I have a real problem with it. I just think this is an honor. And, you know, we don't do like punishment really well anymore, right? We don't like hold people accountable for their actions anymore. And even though he's dead. But it's like you're still honoring him. By putting, he just didn't earn that honor. If anything,
he did earn it. He just dishonored his own honor.
He dishonored the honor.
He earned the honor by his performance, and it should be performance based. And he dishonored himself, Major League Baseball, and the Hall of Fame.
I don't know. I don't think honors are strictly performance based. I guess that's the way I look at it. And let's not forget too, Pete Rose was also convicted of tax evasion.
No, he was a shithead. He was. I think he was. I think he was a sexual assaulter.
You
got to
kick everyone out.
He was accused of statutory rape.
He's an awful, awful person.
I just don't know that if you live your life like an asshole and you thumb your nose at rules in every stitch of the way. I mean, every one of those: tax evasion, betting on baseball, statutory rape. You're just looking at rules and saying they don't apply to me.
Wait a minute, you're talking with the exception of betting on baseball. I think you're talking about the president of the United States, right, Milk?
God,
I didn't say that.
I understand your point, but you're talking about a completely separate. Now you've got to reevaluate everyone in the Hall of Fame.
No, I don't.
I think what Shoeless Joe Jackson supposedly did was 100 times worse. To be an active player.
Why?
To actually throw a World Series as an active player.
Right. That's the worst.
That is. Wait.
But I don't know. You know, there's a debate whether he did that, but his team definitely did it.
And they all did it. He knew. He knew. Come on.
Well, I don't want to do the whataboutism thing because that argument doesn't work for me. This is about Pete Rose. And to me, he didn't earn the right to be in the Hall of Fame. And I hope he doesn't get the votes.
He may not.
Like I said, his accomplishments are there. He's on the top. It's not like his name isn't on the hit list, right? It's not like his name. If you go to the Hall of Fame and look at the list of most career hits, it's not like you're going to find the second place person's name at the top and Pete Rose isn't recognized. He is.
I get it. Is Johnny Bench on this committee?
Let's see. I was he trying is, to find right? who's on it.
I thought he was on it. If Bench lets him in, I'm okay.
If I was going to ban Pete Rose posthumously for anything, it would be his wardrobe choice during all of his sleazy sign and pay sessions.
I just want Bison to admit life. That he doesn't want Rose in, but he's okay with Shoeless Joe Jackson because he played in the 20s. I feel like you want to go there. Just say it.
No, I never said Shoeless Joe should be in.
I don't know. I feel like you're okay with it. I think you would be fine with Jackson getting in and Rose not. You'd be like, yeah, I don't know. I'm right.
No, I don't. I've never said that Shoeless Joe should be in. And
I favor these 20s guys.
I do.
Absolutely. Well,
why would he do that?
He's a purist. That was when the game was pure, supposedly.
So, Milk, who's talking PGA? You or Milk?
I'll talk. I mean, I think it was Scottie Scheffler proved that he is the best player in the world. I know you guys want to make out with Rory and love him so much.
No,
after
I
his
hate
master.
Rory. I'm with you. I think you were prescient about Scheffler for this one.
But Chef, look, I think first of all, he was hurt when he played the Masters, but he's a three-time major winner. He got over the shadow of, hey, you can only win the Masters. I thought what he did yesterday, the poise he showed, you saw his first nine, the front nine was awful. He shot two over, comes back, Rahm makes a massive run at him, gets it, ties him on the back. And then the 14 and 15, the birdie on 14 and plays 14 and 15, two under to pretty much run with it. Just this guy plays golf. He does have a little bit of Tiger in him. Like he's starting to get that fear from other players, I think, on Sunday. He's now 3-0 when he's leading after 54 holes. He does not give up leads. He doesn't choke like Rahm did yesterday when Rahm even admitted the moment got too much to him. He is one of the pure, the ball striking, the purity of the ball striking is, I think, best out there right now. I mean, he is one of the purest ball strikers I've seen in a long time, even though he's got that weird, foot push out or whatever it is. I was just really impressed. It was kind of a boring tournament the first couple of days, right? I mean, the leaderboard sucked.
Yep.
No names on it. And then, he just rose to the top consistent really didn't have the greatest round yesterday. I mean, he shot in the 70s when he was mid 60s the previous 3 days, but just really cool, a cool moment. Loved seeing him with his family afterwards, his kids. He's bringing them into the score keeping area, laughing about it. He's just a good dude. I didn't like Scheffler because Pope likes him so much and all of that, but I'm starting to come around
boring.
To him.
He's a little boring.
How many majors has he won now? Three?
He's won three, but he had never won anything but the Masters. So that was kind of the knock on him is, he can only win the Masters. But I mean, I think he just, I mean, yesterday just proved, look, this, I think he's going to get a Grand Slam like Rory. He is. He's boring. He's not, he doesn't have that, like, I guess, Tiger-esque personality. But man, he's starting to become that player that, he's kind of starting to become that player that if he's leading on Sunday, all the other players are like, it's over.
Aren't we past the point now where we have to stop comparing everyone to Tiger? I mean, you can't live up to it, right? We're still always looking for like the next Tiger, but the combo of the talent and the excitement, it's going to be really hard to find that. I mean, these golfers are not, they don't have the energy that Tiger brought to the game because the game kind of requires them to stay so even keeled, right? Like Tiger was that guy who could get pumped up and pump his fist and then immediately turn it off and get focused again.
But I think you're saying what I'm saying is I feel that in Scheffler. Like, this is not a, you know, you're right. These guys come, they get hot. Jordan Spieth, all the JT, they win a couple, they totally fall apart. They can't handle the moment. They're just not competitive again. And you see this time and time again. I feel like, and it's early in his career still, I feel like he could really turn into, I'm not saying he's going to break Jack's record or even match Tiger's, but does anyone think that Scotty Scheffler can't get double digit majors?
Well, no. That's not that. My point in saying he's boring is sort of along the lines of where Bison was going. You know, he doesn't have the Michael Jordan esque killer personality of Tiger. Tiger was a killer. He doesn't have the showmanship of Lee Trevino or Chichi Rodriguez or Seve or any of those guys. He's just dull. He's like watching fucking paint dry.
But he's really
good. That's the problem with the PGA right now. They're all like that. They suck in terms of personalities. They all suck. Bryson being exhibit A, as soon as his, you know, how many times does he have to hit a 9-iron to realize it's not going as far as he thinks it's going to go? And he's bitching at his fucking caddy the whole time. Maybe you should get out of the Saudi league and play more than once a month, and you'd know how far your freaking 9-iron goes.
I think, I think it's pretty hard. When you say, is he going to get double-digit majors? We are so far away from that. I mean, we have seen too many times where look at Rory. Everybody thought Rory would have double-digit majors, and he went, 15 years between them?
Yeah.
And then he choked right after his Masters.
Don't start with him with me.
Let's get Scheffler to 5. And then you can start talking about double digits.
But did you notice, by the way, Rory didn't talk to the media the entire weekend? I can't deal with him. I'm done with him. I know you guys love him.
I don't love him.
He is such a bitch.
I love him, and I want him to win every tournament just to get under your skin, bother you.
I love that he clearly couldn't. By the way, Scheffler won yesterday having to use a new driver. If somebody gave me a new club to play golf with, I would absolutely collapse and blame it on the new club. That's exactly what happened to Rory.
Rooster, can you imagine how long Milk would be standing over the ball if somebody handed him new club? Oh my Lord.
We'd all be having a nervous breakdown on the ninth hole.
Yeah.
It's like, Milk, hit the ball. Like, we'd all be like taking a step towards putting our tee in the ground, and Milk, it would be Milk's 14th practice swing.
You're right.
Shout out to Denny McCarthy, Georgetown Prep, who came in 7th, T7. That's a pretty good finish for him. So anything else?
US Open, Oakmont, gotta love that location. One of the best golf courses in the country. I think Scheffler could easily win.
When is that?
June 12th, I think.
So like 3 weeks.
3 weeks, and then the Open mid-July. Late July. All right. That's it.
All right, Rooster. We've got some other amazing partners who sponsor this podcast.
We do.
Who else we got?
Well, we're going to sing the praises of Digital Law Marketing, who actually just showed us a mock of our new SMQB's website, which looks awesome, and I hope it's up soon. If you want a online marketing firm that works as hard as you do, visit Digital Law Marketing. And I'm talking to marketing directors and owners of law firms. Digital Law Marketing specializes in law firm marketing, and for exclusivity, expertise, and results, I cannot recommend them enough. DigitalLawMarketing.com.
All right, let's jump into a little NBA. Milk, you're done. Your Nuggets.
All right, Milk.
I was excited for a minute. Block party yesterday for Game 7 on my street. All the Nuggets fans in Tampa.
Oh, yeah. Well, you did it was a good call for you on the upset.
But Rooster, this is kind of exciting, though. I think it's very exciting.
You're Knicks, man.
It's very exciting. The West kind of held serve. Everyone figured it would be OKC and Minnesota T-Wolves. But the East, quite the shocker.
Congratulations.
Everybody was predicting Celtics, Cavs, and my Knicks beat the mighty Celtics in six. I said they'd go six or seven, but I thought they would lose to the Celts in six or seven. I'm ecstatic. All of Knicks fandom is ecstatic. I mean, you know, you saw Clyde Frazier there in the stands. You know, all of them.
I do believe if you wind back the tape, somebody in this podcast said New York and Boston throw out the records.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of people wanting to put an asterisk next to this victory rooster because Tatum was out. Is that how do you?
That's, you know what? Injuries are part of the game, brah.
That's fucked up, Milk. That is just fucked up. Yeah.
And we were so far ahead in that game when Tatum went down. So I think we were going to go up 3-1 in that game. So we had three games to win one after that.
I do want to say one thing about that injury before we talk about the conference finals, though. That is such a consequential injury because of the way the NBA is. I mean, he's done for next year, right? He's not playing.
Yeah, he's
so
not
you
playing.
Think of all the dominoes that fall as far as free agents, re-signing, you know, guys who are going to move on. I mean, the Celtics, do they look at their window as closed for next year?
And I think on the last pod, I was talking about their 2026-27 salaries.
Right.
And it's huge, right? It's like $500 million.
Yeah.
Most people think they're not going to be able to hang on to Porzingis, Al Horford, and Drew Holiday.
Yeah.
In a year where they don't have their best player.
And so what do they do now? Do they do like a mini rebuild while they wait for
him? I think so. I think they keep Brown, do a little mini rebuild around Brown and Devin White and wait for him to come back. The Celtics are not going to be in the contention for the Eastern Conference Finals next year, I don't think.
Do you see a guy like Porzingis end up in L.A.?
I don't know. I mean, who knows what's wrong with him? Somebody needs to get to the bottom of that first.
Yeah, true, true.
When he's healthy, he's a hell of an asset. He was to the Celtics last year.
Yeah.
And you don't know what you're going to get, by the way, when he comes back. That injury's gruesome.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He was... Yeah.
Although Durant came back from it and it didn't really miss much of a beat.
Yeah.
So let's get off of the losers, though, and talk about the winners. So, I mean, let's stick with the Knicks. Knicks Pacers, what do you think, Rooster?
Well, I've got a theme that I think is true, and that is the teams that won decisively, you need to look out for them. And the Knicks just blew out the Celtics in game six, 119-81. It all came together. They didn't even need Jalen Brunson much in that game. They were just clicking. And the same thing with the Thunder. The Thunder played game seven against the Nuggets like the Thunder we all thought they were. They didn't look quite like that during the playoffs until that game. And when you can close out a NBA champion like the Nuggets, you've made it. I think the Thunder have made it, and I think the Knicks have clicked to the point where if I was going to bet on who's going to the finals, I'm picking the Knicks and the Thunder just because of how they closed it out against two really good teams.
I mean, the Pacers, though, I mean, they took the number one seed Cavs apart.
Yep. But the Cavs had three of their five injured for the first two or three games of that series.
Yeah. Boy, how excited would the NBA be to have the Knicks in the finals?
It'd be unbelievable.
You're going to have to go to one, Rooster.
I know. I mean, I'd love to. I mean, really, my dream is to have a little pied-à-terre in Manhattan and courtside seats for Knicks games.
All right. We'll get house on that.
How does the Thunder-Timberwolves matchup play out?
That's going to be a tough series. I mean, two really great teams. I think it's going to come down to how well Julius Randle continues to play, because there are two Julius Randles. There's the guy who plays within the system and plays like he did in the first, I don't know, five games of the Wolves last series against Golden State. And then there's a guy, and then there's the Julius Randle who decides he's just going to pretend he's Jalen Brunson and hog the ball and dribble all over the place and slow the game way down and then take a long shot. they're not going to win if he plays like that. If he plays like the guy who was scoring 30, 35 points early on, they're going to be tough to beat. You know, their star player is, you know, we all know what we're going to get from that guy. I think the key is Julius Randle, and then for their center not to check out like he can do in the playoffs, because the Thunder can throw all kinds of people at you. They're deep, and their defense is amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, they're fun. The Thunder's fun. All right, so we got Thunder T-Wolves starting Tuesday night and Knicks Pacers Wednesday night.
Yeah, but by the way, though, what are the Nuggets going to do in the offseason? Same thing with the Celtics, right? What do you do with Michael Porter Jr. and Russell Westbrook if you're the Nuggets?
Well, Michael Westbrook is bye-bye, right? I mean, they're not going to. Are they going to keep him around? I don't know. Yeah, these teams, what the season starts with, you know, my thing, they change like three times before they get to the playoffs, what these teams look like.
Right.
So.
And they get new coaches in the playoffs.
Yeah. So.
Anyway, this podcast is also brought to you by our pals at Injury Board, a premier networking group for top-tier plaintiffs law firms. I'm proud to say that all of the SMQBs are members, as well as many, many of our listeners. If you're interested in real old-fashioned networking for cases, visit injuryboard.org.
Thanks, Mr. Right.
Thank you, Milk. Hockey, Milk. I think we should do whatever we can here to not talk about one of the teams in the Western Conference Finals. We should just pretend they're not there. Not talk about them. Let's focus on the other three teams.
If Pope was here, he'd be like, which team are you talking about?
Yeah.
Well, look, I want to start on last night because I'm not picking on Moose Jaw.
Oh boy.
I love Moose Jaw.
He's in a fragile place.
Fragile place right now. But what happened in that series was completely unacceptable for Toronto to go up 2-0 in that series and have a game 7 back at home, who are now, by the way, Toronto with Marner, Matthews, Nylander, 0-7 in their last 7 game 7s, I think. I mean, this team is absolutely collapsed when it mattered most.
Can we just call them the Mets? Or the Jets?
The Panthers are really good, okay? Like, I think they're winning the Stanley Cup again. That's going to be, what, is that 2 or 3 in a row? They're in their 3rd straight conference final. The Panthers are a really good team, and Bobrovsky's playing out of his mind. To not only lose game 7 at home, but to get destroyed at home in game 7.
Destroyed.
Just really bad. And now they go on to play Carolina playing great. But by the way, did you know that Carolina has lost 12 straight conference final games? 12 straight conference final games. Do the math. That means they've been swept.
Wow.
The last time that they played in 2023 in the conference finals, they played the Panthers and got swept in 4 games. So you've got Panthers playing Carolina. I said the winner of the Toronto Florida series was going to play for the Stanley Cup. I absolutely believe that. I've got the Panthers probably winning. I don't know. Maybe they lose one game against Carolina. But that was the matchup right there. Toronto, they got past it. And their coach, by the way, is now 6-0 in game 7s for Florida. So they got everything clicking. But by the way, I don't want to talk about Dallas, but I believe this is their 3rd straight conference final. Unfortunately, I'm glad Pope made it to a game last week. His first one in 17 years.
His first of the season, right? Yeah.
No, it was actually 20 years. So it's good for him.
they're in the NFC East, right?
That's right. Right. But they've got a very tough matchup. I'm in love with Edmonton. Who can't be with McDavid? I think Edmonton gets by Dallas. Although I will say Dallas won 2 of 3 against Edmonton during the regular season. So they'll be a tough out, but I think McDavid, who's not played tremendously well so far in the playoffs, this is when he's going to step up. And I'll tell you right now, if we can get an Edmonton Florida NHL finals.
Oh. Wasn't that last year?
Oh yeah, that was, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be repeat. So.
Yeah. Well, that'd be fun.
Hey, but those,
I'm an Oilers fan, as you know.
Yeah.
For different reasons. I think those are the two best teams. I don't remember who Moose Jaw picked to play in the finals.
He picked the Leafs.
Well, he picked the Avalanche originally.
Oh God. He was way off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor Moose. If you're a fan and you know Moose, send him a little love.
He needs it.
The guy's like been in his pajamas for 2 days.
Ironically, he played golf today.
He did.
Just like the rest of his team. So, good for him.
All right. Who's got a punch?
It's this week's punchable face.
I've got one. It's a provisional punch. If it turns out to be true that Jose Alvarado was using PEDs, for which he's been suspended from the Phillies for 80 games, then he gets a punch for being a goddamn cheater.
I noticed you did this one when House is not here.
I would have done it. I thought House would be here. I would have done it anyway, if he was here. I don't like PED cheaters. Except for Andy Pettit. He just did it because his hand was a little sore.
All right, let's get into our buzzer beaters. Milk, what do you got?
I have to talk a little bit about the Brock Purdy 200.
Yes. Yes. Let's talk about that.
What is it? $265 million? With $181 million guaranteed, I think. I don't know if it's official yet, but that seems to be what the reports are. I almost punched the 49ers for this, but maybe it's better in this segment. I don't know, boys. I don't see how that guy is getting $55 million a year. You guys tell me I'm crazy. Tell me I'm wrong. I don't see Brock Purdy at that level. I'm pretty shocked by that amount.
I think this is how you have to look at it. Cause I had the same reaction as you, Milk. It's really hard to find a quarterback who you can be successful with in the NFL.
And the market's crazy.
And when you find, anytime you're a quarterback and you sign an extension, it's going to set a new record. That just seems to be how it is, right? They don't get smaller contracts. But the 49ers have identified a quarterback that can take them to the Super Bowl in Purdy. And that's really hard to find. And when you have that guy, you keep him around. And I just think that's the explanation for it. Because
I guess
I come in at the perspective of Daniel Jones. He spent 40-something million a
year on
that.
Well, that's the Giants.
Guy.
I mean,
compared to him, Brock Purdy is, Johnny Unitas.
I take a lot of Brock Purdy's success being surrounded by an unbelievable defense, wide receivers, and a running back, very similar to Jalen Hurts. And so that's why he's good, pretty much.
Right, but you're still going to spend a lot of money to keep Jalen Hurts because he keeps that machine running.
Right, but we all agree it's not Jalen Hurts. We all agree it's the surrounding people on the team.
Does what he needs to do. Same with Brock Purdy.
I'm staying very quiet on that one. I don't know why. All right, Rooster, what do you got as a buzzer beater?
I'm surprised Milk didn't jump on this. Did you see that Antonio Brown got the shit kicked out of him outside of a club Friday night?
No, what?
Multiple guys jumped him and beat the daylights out of him.
Good. It's about time. How's that not happened before?
How old is that guy now? He's got to be like 40. It's like, look, nobody likes you. You have a really aggravating personality. Just tone your shit down or you're probably going to die soon.
I mean, I don't wish death on anyone, but I'm not going to be shocked. Issues.
Yeah, he's got some mental health.
Yes, he does.
Totally.
Yes, he does.
Totally.
All right. I want to recognize that the WNBA is back.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And you talk about
big time.
Starting with a bang. Did you guys see?
You're referencing this weekend, I think.
Yeah. The Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, right to get the season started. We get a I don't know. I mean, I guess it was a hard foul. I don't even really want to call it a hard foul. It was like one of those, like, she's open, she's going to get a layup, or you go for the ball a little bit. It didn't look like that hard of a foul.
The thing, though, is you have to look at the whole play.
And when she fouled Angel Reese.
So there's a rebound to be had, and Angel Reese just shoved
right.
the player on the other team out of the way. And Caitlin Clark saw this, and Angel Reese is going up for a free offensive rebound putback, and she's like, "Hell with that, I'm going to hack her." So all's fair, you know? I don't have any problem with that foul at all.
No.
And I don't have any problem with people hating Angel Reese because she's kind of an asshole. Just leave the racism out of it, for Christ's sakes.
This is exactly what the WNBA needs.
Exactly what they wanted. I mean, we're like 1 degree separate from the WWE at this point.
Yes.
Because if that wasn't intentionally, like, planned, I mean, nobody's talking about the fact that it was a 93-58 final in that game, and it didn't mean shit. All that anybody's talking about is Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Or that somebody on Caitlin Clark's team passed somebody else to become third all-time scorer in the history of the WNBA.
Right.
They didn't care about that. It was all the Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark show.
There's some WNBA executives that is calling both of them saying,
listen,
look, if you're going to get in a fight, we're not necessarily going to be against it.
Yeah. So, right. That fine?
Yeah.
You know, may or may not collect on that one.
Maybe you should think about some boxing lessons.
That's right. So, all right. Good show, fellas. Nice seeing you.
All right, boys.
Catch you later.
See you next week.